Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Killer Collab Podcast. My name is Tone Deaf from Florida, Tony D. To my right, we have Mr. Joe Davison.
Oh, I'm second.
Hi. Yes, you're last now. I have moved into the second position. Soon I'll be where he is, and he'll be outside.
Yeah, because neither of you can run the show. Anyway, and sitting across from me, Mr. Chris Lato.
Howdy, everybody.
What's that?
How's everybody going?
Could you have a sleepier?
I know, right?
Like,
I know. I'm very chill.
You would think you're the one that smoked weed.
Yeah, I'm high as shit right now, and I have all this energy. I mean, it could be my 9-shot espresso.
Yeah.
I don't know why I shit my pants and fall asleep at noon.
Good times. Good times.
Sorry.
Yeah, Chris. Oh, what are you doing?
Yeah, what's
up? Not doing anything. So we have a guest today.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if you forgot your duty already.
No.
You know, when it comes to old age, you know, you start to forget.
I'm all over it.
You said... You forgot your duty. What
He had one job.
Yeah, all right, but duty?
Had one
it's
job.
Not a duty.
What?
It's not like a duty. Like a duty is like a...
Well, he's old. We don't know if he duty.
Shut up. Sometimes the show's, like, perfect, and then sometimes it's not.
Oh, sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes it's in your mouth.
Sure.
What?
Well, we have a guest today.
Sorry.
Joining us, it is he's a filmmaker, actor. He's on the new controversial but amazing
series, show, Dahmer. Amazing, good job, sir.
Appreciate it. Thank
Green
you.
Is joining us.
Conjuring today. 3, my favorite, by the way.
Conjuring 3.
It is my favorite because of Paul and Eugenie and now Chris Green.
Welcome. This is the third person we've had.
Wow, we've had almost all of the Conjuring 3 people. We just need to get Patrick on the show.
Yeah. And Vera. Yeah.
Chris.
What's happening?
Welcome to the show, bro.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. What's going on with you fellas? I like the shirt there, man. Is that cream?
Yes,
yeah. I like it.
I was like, yeah, man, thanks. I'm wearing plaid today. I'm changing my look, man. I didn't want to come in all sloppy t-shirts and shit.
I almost wore my Wu-Tang today, but we went with Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Normally I'm in something like that, and the wife was like, listen, this is also video. She's like, you can't look
it
like
took you a
slob.
Year to figure this out?
Well, it took me a year to kind of take it seriously.
Oh. Have you watched the Wu-Tang show, Chris?
Yeah. Actually, I worked with, I don't know if you guys are familiar. You know, I worked on, recurred on Queen of the South the fourth season.
Yeah.
And
love
the gentleman
that
plays, thank you. And the gentleman that plays Ryan Onan, plays King George Ryan Onan. He's one of the writers on Wu-Tang.
Oh, wow.
So, that's pretty dope.
So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, get up on there, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, listen, I actually almost was on their first season. He actually wrote me in a part, and producers changed. You know how it goes, man, Joe. The producers changed up stuff last minute, so they wrote the part out. So that sucked.
Dude,
but
I just auditioned yesterday for a 5-page audition for a 57-year-old man.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm going to do it, though.
Yeah.
I don't know how you – I took a – I'm up on an upswing right now. I'll tell you why. Okay, I don't know how you auditioned, Chris, but I would watch this – my auditions are usually – I try to be as truthful as I can within the amount of time when you get the character, right? So whatever the character is, you know – and you only have a little bit of time. You get the audition. They send it like 3 a.m. on a Tuesday, you know, and it's like, you had 8 hours. And you're like, no, dude, you sent it while everyone was sleeping. How does that even count? So you get it. You do your audition. But I watched this thing. Michael Keaton was talking about when he started getting auditions, when he started landing roles. And it was because he changed his attitude. And he didn't do the audition like he was trying. He was vying for the part. He did the audition like he's going, that's his job.
Right.
That's his job. So my last 4 auditions I had, I did that. I went in going, nah, this is mine. No one's got it. I did it for a Toyota National, which I landed, by the way. I got
nice. Congrats.
It shoots on the 13th. Nice. Fuck yeah, man. Nice. I get to play like a 1980s jogger dude who like mistakes Toyota-thon for a marathon. He's trying to lose weight. Yeah. Anyways. And then I just had a 4-page big audition for this movie shooting in New Mexico. And mm-hmm. I went in with the same attitude, man. So we'll right. see. We'll see if I start landing these roles because I changed. But my question is, how do you go? Because Dahmer, that's huge. That's bigger than Stranger Things, I think, at the moment. Because right. it blew up.
Right.
Like, Stranger Things is like a simmering. It was like yeah. a slow burn constant. To an explosion. Now it's burning right. out. Dahmer's like, bam! Here it is forever. Right. This is how it is.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a big role, man. You know, it's a big opportunity and amazing. Right. Congratulations.
Right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. Same situation with Dahmer happened, man. You know, like you exactly what you were talking about. You know, I tell actors all the time, man, and my students, I'm like, you know, auditioning is your job. You know, they think getting the part is a job. It's like, no, right. you got a true audition, like, because that's what we do majority of the time. We're lucky to book. If you book 2 gigs in a year, you're considered, you know, top tier.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, all right. Well, I should get a bump soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You on a hell of a run, apparently, if you want to hustle. So, like, yeah. you know, enjoy it, man. But, and you know how it goes. Ebb and flows, man. We don't. That's why so many of us wind up doing other stuff, like directing or casting or whatever, because it's, you know, we want to keep ourselves working.
Always.
But, right. Yeah. But Dahmer was one of those situations where, you know, they sent me 6 pages. Yep. Same sort of situation. I got it from L.A., so my L.A. Rep. So by the time he sent it to me, it was kind of about 2 o'clock in the morning our time.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, yeah, I need this in the morning. I was like, all right.
What do you mean? Cool. It is the morning. It's not. That's
exactly.
Now. It is the morning.
Exactly. So, you know, just buckled down, man, went over it, and again, treated it like a job, you know. And this is definitely out of character for me because, unfortunately, even though it's not – out of the realm for me because, you know, I've been around, you know, a lot of my family, you know, very big in religion and going to church and stuff. I'm different. I'm more of a spiritual kind of guy, but I don't subscribe personally to, you know, specific organized religion per se. But I was able to talk to them and go, all right, cool. So, you know, this is what it is. And then obviously it being based on a true story, it helps out because then, you know, you have research material you can go find and go look for and whatever. And, you know, it's just about getting those pages down. And I was like, you know what, man, just going to go in and, like you said, treat it like I'm at work. It's day one on set. I'm just going to go in and do what I do. And went in, did that. And, you know, rest was history,
man.
Yeah,
well, clearly you nailed it. I mean, clearly.
Yeah. Like, and it's so much harder to do on tape when you have scenes like that, man. It's a different thing when you got, like, you know, those one pagers or two pagers or even one liners. And it's like, you know, you go and do your thing, you know. And that's pretty much it. I mean, cause yeah, you were on, if I'm not mistaken, you were on Stranger Things, right?
Yeah, and
good work on that too. Cause when I looked, I was like, I recognize him and I had to go. And that's the first thing you do is you go on IMDb, like, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah. I do that constantly. I know her. I took an acting class with her 10 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's always
how'd
great.
She make it? I hate her.
you get that jealous. Don't get it twisted.
No, I don't, dude. Jealous. I try to flip that shit for the win because I try to congratulate all of my 100%. Friends for being successful.
100%.
You know, my friend Sarah French is on a show right now on Discovery Plus about Robert the Doll, right?
Okay.
She took a big role in that. She's in the flat. Have you watched it yet? Yeah, and that's amazing. I love that shit. Right. I love when my, you know, all of my friends make it up and they land a commercial.
I love
and
it too,
another
man.
Job.
It's just like me and my girlfriend were watching Dahmer, and you know, we got. I mean, you were only in the last episode, but you were like all over that episode. I mean, you had to have been in 75% of it.
Right.
And we're sitting there watching, and we get to episode 10, and I'm like, "Hey, that's Chris Green."
Right. Right.
And then, you know, you feel like you're just going to see you for a little bit, but then, like, you were in the whole episode, and I was like, that's a pretty amazing role that he just landed.
Right. And honestly, man, it was the best part about doing that role was the interactions or the actors I got to work with. I mean, you know, because I was there, unfortunately, you know, we filmed that during COVID.
Yeah,
we were on location at an actual prison, which wasn't decommissioned, by the way. That prison, parts of it, was still active, but they obviously separated us from everybody else. But you know, in a week to sit there and interact with the likes of Richard Jenkins and Molly Shannon, and then turn around and have to do that scene with Evan, it was like you couldn't ask for better scene partners. Because at the time, I mean, Evan was already, we found out on set, he got nominated for the Emmy. He wound up winning for Mayor of Easttown with Kate Winslet. But we found out he was going to get his nomination while we were filming.
Right.
So, of course, everybody leaves that alone because, you know, we're there to focus on work. But on the inside, you're like, man, I hope this dude wins because, you know, the meat of my stuff is with him. So I'm like, all right, cool. And he's definitely probably going to get a nomination for this, too. So,
that's how I feel.
You know. Yeah. You got to take those wins.
My effects artist, Marcel Banks, who just did my movie I shot out in L.A., he just won an Emmy for effects.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah, keep winning, people.
Someone
else get an Oscar. Come on.
Right.
I ain't going to be me, but you get one because I'm attached that shit to my movie.
Exactly. You know? And that's what it is, man. It's by association. So that's why I was saying earlier, you know, when actors say, oh, you know, it's one thing. A lot of actors are going to be happy and congratulate their fellow peers. And I tell people it's nothing wrong with being jealous, because if you spin it, like you said, Joe, it's like motivation. Like, oh, man, if they can do it, I can do it. It's when you become envious. That's the problem.
My battle partner, I call it, is Austin Janowski, because he and I go against the same kind of rules.
Right, constantly. Right.
You know what I mean? And I'll call him up and be like, yo, I just got an audition for a Disney movie, blah, blah, blah. Did you get that? He's like, yeah, I got it. Who'd you get? Oh, Dr. Phelps? Yeah, me too. Fuck you. All right, I'm going to be better than you. And then we like hang up, and then we'll send each other the auditions, and we're like, oh, why the fuck didn't I do that?
Right.
So it's a fun little camaraderie, because I hope that it builds, and in fucking 15 years from now, we're both getting a fucking Emmy or just an award.
Competition
or,
just makes you,
you know,
better, man.
Or we're both, you know, I got to work drive through and he's on the fry. Whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? And we make it or we don't, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's how it works, man. And then you see, you know, when you work with cats, like, you know, just, you know, on our downtime, you know, I was talking to Richard Jenkins and I'm like, you're sitting there and obviously the actor part of you is respecting the fact that, you know, this is your coworker, which is great. You know, it's a good look on you. But then the artist part of you is just like, man, I've seen this dude's work.
Yeah.
Not for you. You know what I mean? So, you know, you have that downtime and you talk to him, man, and it's crazy. Sitting there, he's like, you know, you got to enjoy doing this shit, man. He's such the coolest guy, man. He's like, you got to enjoy doing this shit. He's like, I'm in my 70s. He was like, if I had to walk around with an ego, like, oh, nominated for this, blah, blah. He's like, I'd have a heart attack. He said, man, come to work. Enjoy doing work. You're going to run into assholes here and there. Let them slide. You know, as long as you come in and do the work, man, the right people are recognizing you'll start working. Because he was talking about how he's been in this industry so long, but over the last decade is when everybody's like, Richard Jenkins. He's like, man, if people knew how long I've been doing this damn thing, and all of a sudden now you guys are knowing who I am. He's like, I have those fans that recognize me for earlier career, but as far as like on a recognizable, notable scale.
Step Brothers, man.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It's just like, oh,
but
you know.
I've been watching since I was a kid.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh, that's the dude I watch.
Right. But, you know, it's different, I think, with us as artists. We recognize that. But he's talking about, like, the general populace and you know, your team feeds on that. Because now he doesn't audition anymore. He hasn't, you know, for a while. You know, I mean, even with Step Brothers, he was like, yeah, I was still getting asked to audition. And I'm sitting here like, are these people lost their damn mind? And he goes, but you got to understand, when you get to certain filmmakers or certain associations, then it becomes, yo, you're taking this meeting because you don't audition. You're too good for that now.
Yeah.
And that's always the goal, man. Like for me, the longer you do it, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but the longer you do it, you start to stray away from, you know, the famous aspect, because you see the bullshit those people go through. And it's just like, man, let me just do my work, get my recognition for it, cool, and then go back to being able to go to LA Fitness or Target, and people, they might recognize you, like, cool. But that idea of you having to send an assistant to go get some damn shaving cream or something, like, I'm cool with that.
No, man, because I won't ever have money like that, because as soon as I get millions, I'll be making another movie with the money I just made. So, my daughter's going to be like, I'm waiting on money for college. And I'll be like, I'm making a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
This will pay for college.
Right. The hell with college. You want your education come to set. You can have somebody who went to college.
Exactly.
Right.
So, they got YouTube.
I've been trying to ask this question for like 10 minutes.
Go ahead, man.
You're so
step
dramatic.
Up.
You're going to like, come on.
I know. He's not an actor.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I like trying to talk to actors. Try to see what it feels
Which I'm
like.
Digging the shirt too there, Chris. I like that. I hope they actually make a decent, nothing against Nicolas Cage, but I hope they make a decent. I liked him. I just didn't like the movie.
Well, part two was.
I love Nicolas Cage.
Awful.
Yeah.
First one was good. Yeah. I liked
it. Ask your question.
Right. Anyway, so the scene you were in, when you were interviewing Dahmer. Is that, like, really eerie? Because I know how actors immerse themselves into mm-hmm. roles. So, you know, you're thinking, I'm sitting here interviewing Jeffrey Dahmer. Mm-hmm. Does that, like, play on you, like, in your psyche?
Yeah, you
like,
still having nightmares, basically?
Right. Oh, nah. But, I mean, Evan, I'll say this. You know, Evan is the type of guy that fully commits. And let me be clear, because this whole narrative of what the general populace thinks method acting is, I hate when I see articles on that shit. It wasn't method acting what he was doing. You know, when you're playing somebody like Dahmer, you don't have time to in between takes bullshit and laugh and ha-ha. Nah, this is like you got to fully commit to – if you want it to work, you got to fully commit to that character because it's not like it's a made-up character. It's not like it's American Horror Story stuff. This is a dude that really existed, that really did this stuff. So, you know, he was very big on – like when you would see him in the morning, hey, how you doing? What's up, Evan? All right, cool, great. All right, I'll see you on set. And then you didn't see him until it was time to work with him. He stayed very much in his trailer. But as you can see, Dahmer wasn't the type. Dahmer went and got these people. And granted, yes, they take creative license. We don't know what really happened because, unfortunately, the people that we can talk to about this are no longer here. Right. So, you know, and it's like those victims, and obviously you're not going to know exactly what happened. But from what they could piece together, he was the type of guy that would go get his victim, go back to his place, and it would just be them. You know, he really, outside of his family, he really didn't go and, you know, mingle with people. So Evan kind of tried to keep that. But when the first day I saw him, you know, in full makeup, because his hair, obviously, he dyed his hair. So, you know, he kept that. But in full makeup, yeah, it threw me off because I was like, damn, his resemblance to Dahmer is like hair and makeup did a damn good job. And I was like, that's a little creepy. But when you sit down and you realize you're there to tell a story and you get into it, you know, that it was more the character kind of being freaked out because my character it's a culmination of from what I was told, it's a culmination of two black chaplains that he dealt with in prison. So it wasn't just one. And I don't know if they kind of wanted to be disassociated, like didn't want, right, you know, the whole thing to come back. I don't know. You know, I wasn't on obviously the prison team, but I was told it's like, no, these people, you're just kind of a blending of two people. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you got to kind of knock that out. And I worked on it with, you know, my mentor out in LA and my coach out in LA. And the one thing that we kept harping on was, you know, it's an internal struggle, which was very important with the director, Paris Barclay. He was like, you know, I want to see your thoughts, man, because here you are, you know, you're a chaplain, you know, you're a man of God, you know, you've got the collar on, you wear, that's your job, is to bring people to God, you know, is to, you know, you don't judge. That's not your job. You know, you want these people, they want to repent. Cool. But the other part, you can't deny, you're a black man. And this guy sitting across from you, if you didn't have that damn collar on, you'd probably be one of his victims. Right. So that's, you're a human being at the end of the day, but you're also a human being that's devoted his life to bringing people to God. So it's like, you got to have that reservation, but you also got to be like, you know, everybody can be saved regardless of how bad their sins are. Everybody has the opportunity, and he came to me. It wasn't like I had to go to him and beg him. Like, he's the one that came and said, yo, I need to, you know, now I realize where I've messed up. I need to fix this. So that scene was very interesting, and it was cool. I love the rehearsal process for that because Paris, you know, normally when you get on the show, man, and Joe obviously attested this, when you get on these type of shows, especially when they're bigger shows or bigger producers, you don't get rehearsal time. You come in, your rehearsal is your blocking. You come in, they block you, that's your rehearsal. Yeah, and you're done. Paris, yeah, because that scene was so important, we came in and we blocked, and then he made all the crew, with the exception of him, the writer, the DP, and the AD, leave, and then he let us rehearse. And I was like, this is dope, because now we get to pick the little nuances and stuff. And Evan was totally cool. You know, when you have some number ones on a call sheet, I'm done, let my stand-in come in, and, you know, especially if you're just guest starring or co-starring, like, you know, I was lucky enough to guest star, right, but they'll leave. Evan was like, nah, I need to be here. Like, so they were trying to put his, you know, second team in, and Evan was like, no, it's okay, guys, I'm here to work. That's what I'm here to do. So he'll always have my respect for that, because a lot of actors in his position don't do that. So, yeah, unfortunately, it sucks, but I mean, to me, it's like, I get it, you know, if you're a producer on the show as well, which he was, and you have other stuff to do, but, you
dude,
know,
I
when you're trying to tell.
David Harbour to shake my hand.
Wow.
He wouldn't even shake my hand, dude.
Wow. That's crazy, because when I see interviews, and that's why I tell people, you can't judge off of these press interviews, because yeah. they're still acting. Yeah. You still got to go in and put on face for the show. And I would have never guessed that he would be like that from, you know, at least the interviews that I've seen, because I'm like, damn, he seems like he's down for the, like, the craft, the art.
Right.
He loves artists. And to have that, it's just kind of like, man.
And I'm not the only one. Sucks.
That sucks.
You know?
Oh, well. Yeah, that's horrible, man. For yeah, sure. I was fortunate on this. Everybody was cool, man.
Richard what Jenkins, I want to know cool. is I want to know the moment, what it felt like when – did you get an email or did you get a phone call when you got the role?
My agent always calls me.
Yeah,
so okay. that's the thing. But this was the weird part. So, you know, the bad thing about that is, you know, on a show like this, because they filmed outside of the TMZ, you know. So, I mean, Joe, obviously you're familiar with that. I'm sure you guys are too. But we filmed in Lancaster, which if you know anything about L.A., that's like an hour and a half without traffic from L.A.
Yeah.
So they were steadfast on, yo, you got to be an L.A. local because we can't put people up. You know, we can't be flying people in and putting them up for this series because we're also obviously doing COVID testing. Because,
yeah.
again, we were shooting this. We were in still the hype, the crazy hype of, you know, shield and mask and yeah. testing twice a day and all that. We were doing all that. So we had to do the okey-doke, right? We had to tell producers, which they knew after I got on set, but at that point they didn't care because they were like, yo, your take was great. But we had to tell them, yeah, he's L.A. local. Yeah, that's cool. Which I can be because I've got family out there. I've got friends out there. That's not a problem to hop on.
Yeah, I got
especially
friends
for something like this.
Crash on you know? The couch or fucking you
know, right, 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 right. So my agent called me and he was like, so, they're pinning you right now. He's like, but it really sounds like they're interested. I said, all right, cool. I'll just go ahead and fly out. We have shoot dates. He's like, that's the problem. Somebody on set, you know, they got the positive COVID test. So they got to chill for a minute. And he's like, I don't want to tell you to come out now because that person, they won't release who the person was, but if they're not a key crew member or key actor, they'll have them, you know, if they're a day player, they have them leave and then they go on with the shoot. So he called me and he was like, yeah, you know, I don't want to tell you to come out. And then you're out here for 3 weeks before you even test the film.
Yeah.
I was just like, damn it, man. And I just pulled the trigger. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go. And, you know, if I'm out there for a minute, I'm out there for a minute. And then he literally called me the next day. He's like, this was a Tuesday. He called me on Wednesday. He's like, they need you to test Thursday because you start Friday. He's like, please tell me you're already. And when he called me on Tuesday, I was like, dude, I'm going to be there Wednesday night. It's cool. Like tonight. It's going to be cool. Your time. So it's going to be cool. So it worked out, man. But normally he'll call me and be like, hey, you booked it on the way. But it was a weird, like, he's like, I think you got it, but I don't know because they're still. And I was like, all right, man. So that was the craziness of COVID. But yeah, that's always a good feeling, man. And, you know, it's like somebody calls you and tells you, you know, hey, your tape was good enough out of all these hundreds of actors or thousands of actors that auditioned for it. You know, it's the best feeling in the world, man.
That happened with me with This Is Us. You know that show? Yeah, I was supposed to be the lead in that. It was down to me and that dude, who was also in Stranger Things, season one.
Right.
I didn't get it. He got the role.
It happens, man. And it gets so close.
Yeah, but they called my agent and was like, look, it's between him and this other dude. We're going to pin him right now. They wanted to, like, block out my dates and shit. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't get it.
And that's, you know what? Sometimes I'd rather not know, man. I've had so many of those in my career too, yeah. man. And I'm just like, you know, the one that hurt the most, which I knew, a lot of people didn't know. I knew it was going to be a big hit. The black dude on Handmaid's Tale, and he's a good actor. Same situation that plays Elizabeth Moss's significant other.
My wife
and he's been on every season. Like when I got that audition, because I know Bialy and Associates, they cast, and you know I developed a good relationship with Sharon Bialy, and she sent it to me, and she was like, "Look, I'm gonna fight for you for this role because I think you can get it." She's like, "But you know, you got to bring it because they're looking at some heavy hitters." And she called me back, same thing. She was like, "Hey, so I need your dates for this. We're gonna pin you." She said, "It literally is you and one other actor." And then I had to do another Zoom. It was kind of Zoom, but it wasn't Zoom. It was like, I don't know what the other program they used. But I had to do a session with the director online. Did that. she's like, hey, he loved you. Everything was cool. I was like, all right, great, man. This is it. This is the series, Reg. This is gonna be the one.
Yeah.
And she literally called me like the week of filming, and was like, yeah, it came down to, you know, they decided to go with the other guy. And part of me was like, I would have rather you just not told me. Like, as I would have got the hint, like, the day before filming when I didn't get wardrobe any out. Or like, all right, cool. Yeah, obviously, I didn't get it.
So is it worse to be second or, like, 150th?
Say what?
Is it worse to, like, be second or 150th?
Well, to my opinion, it's worse to be second by far.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Ricky Bobby said it best, man. If you ain't first, you're last.
Right.
So
right.
Well, that's the only two positions, really.
Nobody remembers that. Like, nobody – if you ask anybody in any type of major, you know, sporting event, you know, they have to struggle to figure out who the loser was in the championship, unless it was their team. Like, if you ask somebody, even if, like, somebody never followed basketball and it was just like, oh, who won the championship? Oh, I think the Lakers won last year. All right, cool. Well, who they play? You know what I mean? Like, if you're not the king or, you know, the champ, you're not. Nobody cares, you know. It's like they want, you know, second place is first place loser. So,
absolutely. That's what I was.
Yeah.
Second place is the first loser. Yeah.
Basically.
So what's next on your plate?
Just hitting the grind, auditioning, man. I think I wanna, you know, I directed a few shorts, you know.
Your phone should be ringing off the hook, sir. Is it not?
I hope so, man. I got a new manager. So.
Out of LA or Atlanta?
Yeah, LA.
Where do you live?
I'm in Atlanta. I'm back and forth between Atlanta and Orlando, man. My daughter's in Orlando, so I didn't want to go West Coast because
she's still okay from the hurricane.
Yeah, she's good. That's where I'm at now. I'm actually in Orlando because I found out, you know, they were gonna get hit, I was like, all right, let me stay, you know, and be straight, you know, and see, make sure everything's good. And luckily, I mean, parts of Orlando got tore up, man. Where she is, she was actually, pretty lucky, but you know, 10 miles. In any direction from her, man, it was, you know, yeah, I mean, there's still places that are out without power.
I'm so happy that it shifted and went, I'm not sorry for everyone else,
right?
That it shifted and it went lower, because if it come in Tampa Bay, Tampa would be gone.
Oh, man.
Tampa would be gone.
Over. And it did it like the night before.
Seminole, where we live, would be gone.
Yeah.
Right. And it did it like the night before, man. I was going back at it because they were telling people straight up, like,
yeah, this is about to be right here, right through
town. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were like, this is about to be, like, I heard some people just, you know, on social media, obviously, that have lived here through, like, you know, Charlie and whatnot. And they were like, man, it ain't going to be as bad as Charlie, but we about to get hurt pretty bad, man, the way this is going.
It's actually worse than Charlie, I think.
Yeah.
You know, when it hit Atlanta, it was Category 4. And if,
right. If
we got hit up here, it would probably have been close to a 5 because it would have had more time in the water, warm water, to get to us.
So, yeah, it only needed to go 2 miles an hour more.
Yeah,
to be a Category 5.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Like, it would have been devastating.
And just like you said, man, just, you know, it sucks for everybody else. I actually know people who live down in like Naples and Fort Myers, man, and I mean, they're alive, but man, it's their home is like their new home.
good friend of mine, an actor, Kevin Waldo, his family, their house got flooded, man, flooded to his roof.
Right.
They said they came home and all their furniture was out in the yard.
Right.
Somehow it like got out of the house, because of the water flow, probably. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you see that tough Challenger that got flipped over? It's like a 1969 Challenger. Got pulled out of a garage and flipped over. It's in the dude's driveway.
Oh man, I think I saw, the only thing I saw was out in Tampa. Well, you know, I think they said it was Bayshore area or whatever, because that got hit, you know, pretty hard. But there's a guy that had just bought a brand new McLaren.
Yeah.
And, I saw that.
Yeah, you saw that? Oh, yeah. And I was like, dude.
He bought it like a week before.
Oh, man. Why would you not drive that the fuck out?
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, there's a hurricane coming.
Right.
I would have been in New Jersey. Out of there.
Yeah. I'm like, literally, and the thing was, he was like, I guess they thought because it was in the garage. I'm like, bro, no, man. No. You should have got that shit on a trailer or something, and got it the hell out of Dodge, man.
Not a McLaren.
I mean, I'm just, you know, hitting the ground running, man. I've got a few other things in the fire, and, you know, my manager's trying to do some other stuff. You know, I'm still still teaching and helping my students out, man, which I'm really excited about because they're having – my students are having a hell of a year too, man. My students are doing really well with, like, booking stuff and big stuff at that, man. So I'm super excited about that. But, you know, I kind of just – after Dahmer, that kind of made me realize, you know, the type of stuff that, you know, you're like, all right, cool. Like, this show, if it's hot, I'll jump on it. But I'm like, nah, I got to – that was creatively fulfilling.
Yeah.
To work on that. You know what I mean? And you get to a point where it's like, yes, money-wise, I got to pay my bills, but, you know, I want to be happy with work. Because, yeah, you could work on some of these major shows and get that kind of recognition. Like, I'm sure with Stranger Things, like, I would love to work on Stranger Things, but if it's not in a capacity that's going to make me happy, it's like,
I Yeah, I didn't get any influence. I couldn't say – I wanted to say there's a scene when we turn the power back on and it goes from red to green.
Right.
And – Ross Duffer was walking by, and I said, yo, can I say light is green, trap is clean? Because it was right. supposed to be 1984.
Right.
Right? And Ghostbusters was out. The kids were dressing right. as Ghostbusters for Halloween.
Right.
They just stared at me. They were like, I was wow. like, so is that a no?
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, so, you know, I didn't do anything. I didn't really yeah. improv, and then they had a part where I'm in this console. There's this giant console in front of me, and they come in, and they're like, okay, we're going to start here, and we just want you to turn this off. And then they walked away, and I said, okay. So the first take, I was like, boop, 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 boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop. Right.
Like that? They're like, okay, we're going to do it again. I was like, okay.
We're going to do it again. Not like
that. Not like that.
Right. Man,
and in the show, it's just this. Click. I was like, man, I had a whole sequence set up and shit. Like, I said, wouldn't he know that, it? Bro. Wouldn't he know his console? Like, he would know exactly how it works, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell people, I'm like, you know, the plus on being a show like that is strictly for the fan base or the social media following. That's the only benefit.
You're real. Because, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, because a co-star role like that is a real grab.
You're basically a talking prop,
right.
pretty much, on a show like
if that.
Yeah.
I barely talked.
Yeah, it's like, that's it, and it sucks, man. I tell people, I'm like, you know, I think that's why you're starting to see, and I'm sure you guys have seen that, you're starting to see a lot of these actors who you may recognize and respect as far as their work. If you notice, you're starting to see them do a lot more of the middle tier, lower budgeted streaming stuff, because they have saying, like, my characters, I want to do this, and I want to do that. And they even get so much as a producer credit, but like there's more collaboration on those sets. It's like these $100 million movies, unless you're, you know, above the line on that, man, you come in, say your line, shut up, and get out of here. You know, that's pretty much what.
Here's the thing, man. I was talking to Paul Reiser, and he's like, I wouldn't even be doing this show, but my son said it's awesome.
Wow.
His
See?
Son's like 15. So he goes. He goes, there's a bunch of shows he watches, and I wasn't even aware that streaming had shows. He's like, I'll watch that. And I was like, wow, man. He goes, yeah, this is where I'm going to live from now on. He goes, it's just like TV. And he's not lying, dude. Paul Reiser's on everything. He's on The Boys. He's on that new show now. Whatever that new show is he's on. Damn
it. Do you like working bigger stuff or smaller stuff?
It's a two-handed question.
Money out of the situation.
Okay, I was gonna say, yeah, that's the main difference is you're getting a fatter paycheck, you know, and the residuals are better. But I gotta say, all the stuff that I've been happy with creative-wise and enjoyed has to be, you know, the smaller or the mid-tier stuff. This production, you know, Dahmer is probably the one of the only ones I could say that is like bigger tiered. And budgeted because it's Netflix and it's Ryan Murphy. So
let's talk about Conjuring 3. What was that like?
How many Conjuring, but see, that's that? The thing about Conjuring was even though, you know, same production team, we had a different, you know, Michael Chavez was a different, like a newer director.
Yeah.
James didn't come back and all that. So they were kind of mid-tier too, man, because we shot a lot on location, but they didn't really have as big of a budget as, like, they didn't have the Annabelle budget and the previous Conjuring, but even though people think they did, it's like, they actually didn't because I guess I don't know if they were kind of iffy on how it was going to do, and it wound up being one of the better ones aside from the first one, but it wound up being solid. But yeah, but it was great, man.
And
you know, and again, say what?
I said that because of Paul Wilson.
Oh, no, no, no.
He's a really good friend of mine. I fucking love that man.
Yeah, no. Like, it wasn't a bad experience. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, it was cool, man. It was
funny because when I talked to Chris last week, the other day, and...
Last week, the other day.
Yeah, it was like, Wednesday or Thursday, I reached out to
you
him.
You sound like a late night show. Last week, the other day.
And he said, send me a link to your show, and I sent him the Paul Wilson show. I'm like, he was on The Conjuring, and Chris was on The Conjuring, so maybe that'll...
Yeah.
And
Eugenie, like, I love Eugenie. She teaches down here in St. Pete. She's brilliant. She's on a Marvel show. I love all that shit. I love watching people get successful because, like you said, man, association. I'm successful by association because I know these people and I've known them for 10 years. So when I finally get that next $1 billion to make the movie, I can say, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop. Yo, play with me, motherfucker.
That's it. You know? And that's what everybody, if you look at it, that's what everybody does. Like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, you know, it's the proof is in the pudding, right? Like, you look at, you know, everybody's like, oh, Evan Peters is perfect for this. I'm like, you think Ryan Murphy was going to cast anybody else? Evan's literally been in all of Ryan's stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, you think he was really going to look at anybody else? By association, when they got the budget and the clearance to do this, I'm pretty sure Evan knew about it way ahead of time.
He knew it the moment they were walking out of the building. We got the budget. Get ready. And then Peters is like, yeah, cool. And he's just like in his pool with, like, strippers, I imagine. He would
I mean, who knows, man, probably.
I mean, all his success with American Horror Story, not to mention X-Men, I thought he was the best Quicksilver.
Yeah, he was the best.
Yes, I agree. And then, you know, WandaVision, then he had his...
He's a WandaVision man. So, like, I imagine he has, like, a nice place in L.A., which is probably, like, a 2-1. Because they're expensive as fuck in L.A.
Yes.
You know? I saw... Yeah, I've been looking at property, right? Because wife and I are in March. We want to move, and I don't want to live here anymore. I want to go back out. I want to go out to L.A. Right. Well, I have a business partner out there. He's got a studio in Sylmar. And, nice. I've been looking at places like up in Palmdale, and you know, I really want to find something like Canoga Park, but like Palmdale's more affordable. But yesterday, from a realtor, I got a little image, and it was just like the side of a mountain with some trees, and it said 5,300,000, and I'm looking at the picture and I'm like, I don't see a house. So I scroll through the pictures and it's just like these big groups of trees, and then finally in the trees you see this giant house with no windows or doors. The garage door is
like
gone.
A tree house?
It's been spray painted a million times. It looks like a meth house. And I was like, want $800,000 for this?
Nah.
My little
so you got to be excited for a minute.
Would be a million-dollar house in L.A., man. Like,
well, I honestly just found a 4-3 in Palmdale for like $389,000, dude. So Leanne and I are jumping on that probably today.
Right.
Because it isn't here, man. The work's not here.
It's not.
It's not in Florida, bro. You want to do some Hallmark shit, that's okay. But again, association. Hallmark are all the same fucking people, dude.
You know?
All those guys are the same people. They come here to make a Hallmark movie, they're flying in their AD from L.A. because they're not going to fucking deal with somebody from here. And that's what they do. You know?
Atlanta's the same way. Bro, Atlanta's the same way. If you look at Atlanta, man, because people got... You know, and I'll say this real quickly, like, people don't read the stuff. I tell people, I'm like, man, listen, you know, part of your job as being in this industry is understanding the business aspect. It's called show business for a reason. It's called entertainment industry for a reason.
Right.
I'm like, even more so nowadays, it's more business than the craft. So I tell actors, I'm like, read this stuff through SAG. Like, SAG has it. Even the local filmmaking commissions will have it. They're like, oh, the incentives. I'm like, the incentives don't benefit you as an actor unless your background. I'm like, so if you want to work background all day, cool, because they have to hire a certain percentage or a certain amount of background. But I'm like, as far as co-stars, guest stars, I'm like, that doesn't benefit us. We get nothing for that. So why do you sign in actors from
as
L.A.?
As a producer,
yeah.
It benefits you. If you went to make a movie in New Mexico,
right,
you're probably going to bring your own DP.
Yes.
You're probably not going to hire from New Mexico. So already you're losing part of your incentive.
Right.
You're probably going to bring in an actor, you know, a buddy or a friend or two, you're going to fly in there with you. So you're still losing more incentive.
Right.
you know, that when people think about incentives, they're not really for us. It's for the producers and investors to make their money back when it comes mainly to post and that kind of shit, because that's where you'll make all your money back when you hire a post house in the place you're shooting or an editor, you know. Generally, people already have their editors because they've worked with them a million times. Yeah. So it's like...
But yeah, it's like, you know, as far as from the actor in, I'm like, you're not, you still got to fight for it, man. And I said, you know, there's more opportunity. There's more people in LA, but there's more opportunity to get, you know, if you're putting in the work to get that role. Like Atlanta, I tell people it's a good starting point. Like, you know, to get those co-stars and stuff like that. Listen, it's great. But as you said, by association, if your resume keeps being co-star, 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 that's all they're going to keep calling you in for. And you don't have the ability to grow to get to that guest star, get that recurring, or get that series regular because they're bringing them in from L.A.
Right.
So it's like you still got to go to L.A. or New York, you know, at one point in time.
Yeah. My partner has been in L.A. his whole life, 30 years, 40 years, 300 movies. And he told me yesterday, he goes, I'm telling you, it's L.A., L.A., L.A. It will always be L.A. It will be L.A.
Yes.
Everyone tries to go to Atlanta or they try to go to New Mexico, but it's all based out of L.A.
Yes.
If Silicon California falls into the ocean, it's going to be L.A. because that's where all the major studios are, and they're not going to move a $500 million studio to fucking the Midwest somewhere.
Nope.
So he's not wrong, man, and he's been there his whole life, and he's worked on over 300 movies, so he knows what the fuck he's talking about. I'm out. I gotta go. I gotta get there because I need to work more.
Right. And be clear. And be clear for everybody listening. If you're starting as an actor or director or whatever, understand what Joe and I are saying, or at least definitely what I'm saying. It's okay if you're starting out. Yes, start in your area. Go to the closest near hub, which would be Atlanta. That's cool. But when you start getting that 10-year, you know, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, 20, when you start getting that in. If you don't go to L.A., then this is not going to turn into a career, a viable career for you. You're going to be, you're not even going to be living check to check, because unless you're bagging national commercials, you know, like you said, unless you're bagging those every 6 months, you can't live off of that.
If you're lucky, because
if you're lucky,
you got to fight between Miami, Orlando,
You
know, for those commercials, which are heavy commercial area locations. I mean, Miami's probably the number one commercial spot in the world.
Right.
They shoot every fucking thing down there. Man.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
From Lamborghini to Gucci.
Right.
You know, unless you're not on some fucking island somewhere or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
Right. Right.
And that goes all the way to like photo shoots with models. It's the number one model capital in the world, Miami.
Yep. Yep. And so it's, you know, you just take your wins where you could get them, man. Like I said, I'm grateful for Dom right now. And I already know it's going to open up some doors because I've had people, you know, reach out to me that whose work I respect, directors, producers, writers, reach out to me on Twitter. Like, I'm watching the show and I just realized that was you. Great job. And then people that I've not even worked with that know me through, again, association.
Yeah.
You know, they'll see somebody tweet me and they're like, hey, man, you know, I saw you worked with such and such. You know, hey, good shit on Dahmer, man. That's a good show, man. Like, good stuff. And so, you know, I know, like, you got to stay on the gravy train and kind of milk that, but I'm excited to see what...
Man, I've been floating on the Stranger Things for, like, 5 years now.
There you go. There you go, man.
I don't know if it's
been 5 years. You got to, because it's hot. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? And I don't have to do it. People do it for me. I don't do
exactly.
I don't need to do... Yeah, they're like, oh, he's in Stranger Things. I was like, yeah, like, 4 years ago.
Exactly.
You know.
Hey.
He's already typecast.
Yeah, a fat scientist. Hey.
With big glasses. Yeah.
But that show, listen, man, the show is hot, man. At the end of the day, show's hot.
It has opened some doors for me. It allowed me to get a manager out of L.A., you know, which shooks me up with a bunch of conventions. It's really opened a convention door for me. And now I'm starting to see that, like, now it's starting to pay off because it's allowing me the real – is allowing me to get auditions, which is allowing me to get further into the career.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not like I stepped off of Stranger Things and people were like, oh my God, come over here and play with us. It's like, you know, it was a little slow burn there for a minute.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, sometimes you got to develop anyways.
You like the comedy or the drama better?
I'm a comedy dude, man, and that's the sucky part, man. Yeah, like I'm a comedy, and that's the thing. It's like I don't mind being the straight guy, or you know, the punchline, or the guy that's coming in doing the comedy, man. Like I am okay with that. I enjoy comedy because to me, comedy is really where you play with the other actors. And again, I'm sure you know Joe knows that from his background. Yeah, you gotta listen and you gotta play with the other actor. Drama, you still gotta pay attention to the other actor, but it's kind of like, you know, I mean, as long as I hit my line, cool, depending on the show. Comedy, like, if you guys aren't playing together, it don't work.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Timing's off or the chemistry isn't right.
Right. But I don't get asked to do, which is crazy because, like, that Atlanta scene will go by and people keep sharing that. And it's like, all right, cool. And I'll get, like, comedy auditions here and there. And they'll like me. They're like, oh, but then they wind up going with, like, an influencer, which is cool. Or they'll go with, like, an actual, like, a stand-up or something, which is like, all right, whatever, cool. Because, again, they look at my resume and go, yeah, but all your shit's drama. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm like, guys, I like comedy. It's cool. And I rarely get the chance to do it. And that's why I like this new manager. He's like, yeah, man, we're gonna try to get you some comedy stuff because, you know, I see you have the training. I see you have the background. Like, why don't you? And he thought the same thing. He was like, why do you turn it down? I was like, I don't. That's the thing. I don't get that shit. Like, I literally
– yeah.
It comes once every 30 auditions, I might get a comedy thing. But the other 29,
mine is, I don't want to do drama. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Man.
I just don't, man. I don't want to. I want to, like, I'm trying to build myself up as, like, a horror dude. Anyway.
Right.
You know, a horror filmmaker. And but anyways, I'll take whatever I can get. But right. I really don't want to do drama because I'm the comedian. I'm the right. I'm the. But I am the joke when, you know, right. I'm the dude. Like, you right. know. But I'm the guy who gets the spaghetti spilled on him, and he's like, oh, no, no, a pocket hose. Whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I can see it, man.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Well, I did a pocket hose commercial. That's how I had to be stupid. My guy didn't know how to wheel up a fucking hose, apparently. They're like, you don't know how to use a hose. I was like, a garden hose? They're like, yeah, you don't know how to wheel the thing. I was like, it's a crank. You just turn it. He's like, no, but you don't know how to. You don't know how to do it, and then you pull out the pocket hose. I was like, I'm being paid $250 to do this.
Hey, $250.
Yeah.
Listen.
And now you're and I never can't crank. And I can't find the commercial anywhere.
Right.
Nowhere.
That's the worst part.
It was a terrible idea.
No, it went out. The commercial aired. I just can't find it, and they've never sent it to me. So right. I can't even put it in my – and it's old now. It's like fucking 7 years.
That's the worst part when you don't get that stuff, man. That's the worst part about it. But, you know, I mean, it happens, man. It happens. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I appreciate the support always that I get when word comes out. And I appreciate you, Chris, for reaching out, man. I'm glad that you guys did. I mean,
I'm hoping to
come back and spend more time with you guys when I have a little bit more time. I'm like, you know, I gotta run and get this other appointment going. But
welcome anytime.
Thank you, sir. Like for sure. And you guys keep kicking ass, man, and doing your thing. I mean, I'm bad about social media. I need to be better on that. But I like same thing with Joe. I see people and I'll shout them out, but I'm like, I hate being on because
I don't know.
Bad. So
I'm not an influencer, which is ridiculous to me that that's a thing now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know? I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess if that's what you want guys to do, cool, but that's not me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the
show. I don't have the ass to be an influencer.
Oh, yeah.
That's right there.
Right.
Thank you for joining us this week. I appreciate you coming out and joining us this week.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Watch him on Dahmer, the new series on Netflix.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, man.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll all catch up soon. And best of luck on the move to LA, man. I hope you snatch that property up because it don't sound like it's gonna be there long enough.
It probably won't be. It'll be gone by the time. It'll probably gone already. By the time I looked at it and looked at my wife, like, babe, look at it. Oh, it's sold. Yeah.
Cool.
All right, man. Thank you, sir. Right,
Chris, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Hi, yeah. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host.
No, you're not.
Kinda. I'm a co-host.
Yeah. One of three.
Oh, okay. Now who's demoted?
So dramatic. Yeah. You guys are a little dramatic this morning. Like, I don't know what's going on.
He immediately said, when I said I'm your host, he's like, no, you're not. I'm dramatic. He chopped that shit off like a samurai.
Hoja!
Hazakaba!
So you said you had things to talk about. What do you have?
Yeah, dude. About? Well, okay. So I'm making a point to watch.
I thought you were going to say making a porno.
I'm making a porno. I've been shooting in your bathroom for weeks. No, I'm watching. I'm going to watch 31 horror movies. I never do that because I think it's stupid. But okay. I'm so far behind.
This is the fourth. Have you started?
Yeah. I'm so far behind, you know, in movies in general that I was like, well, now's a good time to catch up. And
yeah,
kinda...
but all you're going to watch is all the old shit that you've seen already, right?
No, I'm watching new
you're
shit.
You're watching all new stuff.
Really?
That's what you should do. No, watch stuff you've never seen before.
I have been. Settle the fuck down. I have been. Jesus Christ. Fuck,
let's
man.
Hear it.
All
right. Your list.
I started with My Best Friend's Exorcism.
Oh, I watched that the other night.
I thought it was great.
Was pretty funny,
it was cute, man.
Man.
I thought it could have been way better.
It could have been way better.
It needed
but it
more
was
comedy, and but I liked it. I thought it was cute.
Yeah, it was
then funny. I watched a thing called Cursed. It was really cool about these werewolf
the werewolves.
These
the
yeah, these gypsies.
Werewolves.
Yeah,
yeah, that was,
that was fucking dope.
That was a good episode.
Then I watched Conjuring 3.
pretty sure you saw that.
I've seen like 3 times. And then I watched. Studio 666 with the Foo Fighters.
I haven't seen that yet. How was that?
I liked it. I thought it was funny. It could have been.
It was definitely funny.
It's hard watching them act.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I heard they weren't very good actors.
No, they're not. But it's funny because it's the Foo Fighters, and
right.
I love the Foo Fighters.
Good soundtrack. Yeah.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah.
The whole plot was great. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I like you know the music and shit. And I like they make fun of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And they clearly have a great chemistry.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've been together for, what, 30 years?
Yeah. That's it so far. So that's 5, and it's only day 4.
Hmm.
So I'm ahead of the game.
So what you got on the tap tonight?
Today,
do you have them all written out?
No.
See, I did that last year. I made a list of everything, what night.
No, I'm not sure what I'm sure what I want to watch. There's
well,
a does a documentary
right?
count as a movie?
Depends what documentary.
The one about Robert the Doll with Sarah
Robert,
French. It just
sure.
came out today on Discovery.
Horror,
right? Yeah.
Okay.
So that's up next. I actually started watching this morning only because I forgot my daughter was still home and hadn't left for school yet. And I was like, oh, shit, I can't watch this.
So we're going to see Smile tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Have you seen the freaking all the
yeah.
shit they've been doing? It's
yeah.
so funny, dude.
That just means to me that the movie's going to be bad.
Actually, I've heard a lot of good things. Sean even saw it over the weekend.
Oh,
did
Sean?
You like it?
Is that Sean Donahue,
yeah, Sean
the foremost critic forte of horror in all of Florida?
Well, we don't ever agree on shit. So,
yeah.
He said he loved it. I said to that.
There's a bunch of horror films out that I'm going to see. I probably should start writing them down,
see X?
That's on my list to
see
Pearl. X and
Pearl.
Oh, I saw Nope as well.
Nope. What did you think of Nope?
I thought it was great. I thought it could have been better.
Yeah.
I was like
it was
getting
like,
so much hate.
It feels like it was lacking so something. Like I don't
A real
monster.
Well, I think no, because I like the whole idea of the UFO. I like that whole idea. What I was trying to figure out throughout the thing was like, okay. It moved. The pacing wasn't bad. But I don't think it – I think it should move a little faster. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It was okay. It just – I was like, all right, that's cool. They won. Mm-hmm. They beat it. That's great, you know.
I thought the best part of the whole movie was the freaking monkey.
I didn't understand that. Why was that in there?
The
just the flashback to the –
There's a whole story about
I
it.
I know. But,
just
like,
read the article.
That's going to be another movie.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
They're going to turn that show thing into a movie. But I don't know why that was even in the movie. You could have cut all that out of the movie. You never would have known.
Right.
Stephen Young's character could have just been a cowboy who does shows.
Right.
Like, why does it have to be a whole backstory about some sitcom in the 80s about some monkey who rips off that girl's face?
Right.
Like, so, that went nowhere.
Maybe he's planting seeds for other things.
Well, for sure
yeah.
he is.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, I don't know. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Sharkbait. Watched a movie called Sharkbait.
Sharkbait?
Hmm. New shark movie out.
Did you watch the new Hocus Pocus?
I did not, but it has been playing nonstop in my house.
I know.
You watched it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, because
I know the first,
one came out in 93.
Well, the first one is amazing, and my wife and my daughters love it. My daughters love the second one.
You can't even say the second one is a money grab because they didn't release it in theaters. So
yeah.
It was basically a, I want to say,
was as bad as Coming to America 2?
No, that was actually, I like Coming to America 2. You know what I could not stand? I don't even know why it exists, and I never thought I'd say this ever in my life, but The Munsters is a pure fucking pile of shit.
I didn't understand. I watched,
like, I don't know what's happening.
I haven't watched it, and I'm like,
dude, it's like a mockery of, it's almost like Rob Zombie trying to make a kid's show.
Yeah. Did you watch the whole thing?
I can't. No, I can't get through
it. I got through like 20 minutes.
I got up to Nosferatu breakdancing in the alleyway, and I was like, what are you doing?
Like, what is Nosferatu dating Lillian? I didn't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand any of that shit. And I think it's just because he can do whatever he wants. He didn't have a script together. Right. He pitched them the Munsters idea. They fucking bought it. And then he had to go write some fucking nonsense.
Yeah.
It's
basically Halloween 2 all over.
And I see people posting, oh, the Munsters were so good. And I'm like, did you watch Munsters? Like, did you watch the TV show?
It wasn't good, and it wasn't nostalgic.
No.
Addams Family is at least nostalgic.
That's what I was hoping. I was hoping for it to be nostalgic, and it just wasn't.
No. Addams,
it was
just Addams Family a bunch of weird shit. Took itself seriously. The Munsters took acid.
Right.
And that's what happened.
I just can't stand anything Rob Zombie does.
He's hit or miss with me, man. Like, I like some of his stuff.
The only thing he hit on me for me was Halloween. That was it. One.
I like Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses.
I hate all that shit.
I didn't like.
I actually hate Rob Zombie.
I didn't like 31.
You know where I like Rob Zombie? In White Zombie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just fucking play some music, bro, because you're really good at that.
Yeah.
You're not good at whatever the fuck the Munsters is.
He's great in concert.
Please stop it. And I love Dan Roebuck. Dan Roebuck was in it.
Yeah.
And I thought he looked great as Grandpa Munster, but what they did with Herman and what they did with Lillian.
I didn't even get to Herman. I didn't even see him.
I didn't even get to him either. He wasn't even made yet.
After they were.
Wait, what?
He's not in the beginning. He's not.
Dating. He's like, Lily's dating.
Dating Nosferatu.
And she's on a date with him.
Is it a prequel?
And I'm just like,
who knows?
What is happening here? Like, I didn't get it. And then that whole shit at the beginning with the guys. Robbing the grave, like I didn't.
Yeah, I don't
understand.
Know. Yeah, well, that was part of Herman. They're building Herman.
Oh, is that what they were doing?
And then he finally comes to life, and she falls in love with him. You didn't see that part?
I didn't get
where
to that
he
part.
Sits up.
The prequel,
dude. He sits up and cuts the Lillian, and there's all these hearts behind her.
I'm telling you, Lillian was on the date
it
with Nosferatu.
It looked like a fucking.
I can't. Do
it,
this
you know what it looked like? He shot the movie with Instagram filters.
Yeah. Well,
because it's hearts and shit, rainbows.
Well, apparently he wanted to shoot it in black and white, and Netflix wouldn't let him. So
that's what
it
needed
to
be done.
Crazy colors. Yeah.
Netflix is gonna kick themselves because Werewolf by Night's gonna be really good.
Yeah.
In black.
I agree. That shit looks badass.
Eugenie Bondurant.
Can't wait. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, that's coming up soon, isn't it?
What?
I don't know. Was it over
Werewolf
there?
By Night?
Yeah.
I was trying to see the date.
The 20th.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I know Halloween comes on the 14th. I can't wait for that.
I know that they're playing Hocus Pocus at the Tampa Theater. I'm going to take my daughter to go see it.
Because
she's never been to the Tampa Theater, and it's fucking amazing to go there.
Yeah.
That's Tampa Theater, 312 Franklin Street, Tampa, Florida.
I think they fucked up the second one. That's all I'm going to say.
The second Hocus Pocus?
Yeah. I like I said, it was just for nostalgia.
Sequels are just like, that's what they did for Coming to America 2. Yeah. It was just like, they brought out all the same. They recycled all the shit that was in the first one that wasn't as funny.
And did not have the budget
and I'm
either.
Like, why are you
no
doing
budget
this? Why would you
one.
Make this movie?
Yeah.
I know you say you liked it. I hated it.
Coming to America's budget was
Coming to America 2?
Yes.
I loved it. The only thing I had a little problem with was the lion thing, but everything else was hysterical.
Like I said, I laughed.
The
like,
lack of budget
just
showed.
Old. The lack of budget showed. And it was not.
And I love Coming
like,
to America.
Absolutely. My favorite comic. Like, but that movie was like. On like a whole big spectrum. The second one was just like shot in the warehouse.
Yeah, they shot it in one location.
Yeah.
I hated the plot. I don't know. And all the recycled
shit. You remember the castle or the mansion that they had in the first one?
Yeah.
But didn't you see the second one? It was like.
Yeah, it was like nothing.
Like, it was like I couldn't say that. I was like, why? Like,
well,
I mean,
what do you think about.
I love Eddie Murphy. I love Arsenio Hall.
Beverly Hills Cop 5 is coming.
Yeah. Four? Yeah. And I'm worried that's
four or five.
Up. I hope they don't mess that up.
No.
This has to be
four. Yeah. It's got to be good. It better be good. Oh, it has to be as good as the first one. It needs over-the-top action.
But here's the thing. Is Eddie Murphy, like,
no,
still good?
Well, I mean, I still love Eddie Murphy.
What's the last movie he was in that was like, wow, that was really funny, or that was really good?
Bowfinger?
I can't even remember. Bowfinger? That was like 25 years ago. Wow.
I don't know, man.
I mean, that type of comedy where he's not
wasn't he just in,
it's
like...
It's not like kids' comedy.
He was in some movie, like, in all makeup.
I mean, he's in the Doctor Doolittle.
Dolomite?
The Nutty Professor.
Dolomite's fucking amazing.
I haven't seen that yet. I heard it was really good.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah, I heard it was really good.
Mr. Church, I might watch. It's got good ratings. Nothing good.
'90s. He hasn't done anything good since the '90s.
Probably not.
Hopefully, this is a.
Well, I need to see Dolomite and I need to see Mr. Church.
Yeah, I need to see Dolomite.
And
I haven't heard of that other one.
Dolomite's awesome, man.
Beverly Hills Cop.
What? Let me see that. What's that saying?
What? It says 2013. Beverly Hills Cop.
It's a TV movie.
No, it just says Beverly Hills Cop. I don't know.
With BJ Britt.
I have no idea.
Barry Sonnenfeld.
Somebody stole the name and made some bullshit.
No, Barry Sonnenfeld, dude.
He's tagged in it. I don't.
Well, maybe they were going to make it in 2014 and didn't. Or 13.
Or just unreleased it? No, didn't release it back then?
Oh, this is 2013. You're right. Yeah. Who knows? Never heard of it.
Yeah.
But why is...
I don't know.
Beverly Hills Cop not on his...
That is. That's why I just pulled it from.
Right, but that's fucking... 2013.
Almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Where's the... They're doing a new one.
Yeah, it's not even on there.
Interesting.
He probably hasn't signed on yet. That's probably what it is.
Do you know that he's done 935 episodes of Saturday Night Live?
No. Well, that was what?
That can't be right.
Well, they shoot one every... No, that can't be right. Definitely can't be right.
It says 935 episodes from 1975 on. Oh, Saturday Night Live has 935.
Yeah.
He's been on 66 episodes.
That makes sense, yes.
God damn, dude.
Anyway.
Listen to me. Your Halloween thing? There's a movie called Harpoon.
Okay.
You seen it?
No, but I think I've seen
it's
the
on,
thing.
It's on Prime. I think it's on Prime. It's fucking awesome.
Okay.
Like, you gotta watch it. That movie's really badass.
Okay. Harpoon. What's it on?
I think it's on Prime. It's on Tubi. It's on Plex, but if you want it without ads, it's on Prime. Badass movie.
But October is like one of my favorite months for all the Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
I love the horror movies that come out. Yeah, see a whole bunch of releases.
They just released Smile and Spirit Halloween on the same day last week.
Yeah. So it's going to be a good month, I think. Like, I'm really curious what Halloween Kills is going to be.
I think it's going to be full of Jamie Lee Curtis, and that's not a good thing.
We'll see. Hopefully there's a lot of kills. Hopefully they up the body count.
Yeah.
Even though
the last one was fucking brutal, man.
Yeah, but they skewed the body count at the end of the movie. Because he would just killed all the 15 people at the end of the movie. So the kill count got a little skewed.
What is this for?
Halloween.
Oh, the new one, Halloween Kills?
Yeah.
We watched some of that. I didn't watch all of it. I got up to... He was coming into the hospital, I think. And is that Anthony Michael Hall?
Yep.
Yeah.
He just looks better with age.
Right.
He just keeps like looking better.
Because he always looked like the little.
He always looked like a kid.
A skinny little fuck.
Yeah. What was that movie? Out of Bounds. Remember that movie? I couldn't take him seriously because I'm like, this is the kid from Weird Science.
He looks so much more mature and so much like defined. Like he looked.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean that could be makeup.
He was the 16 Candles kid and the Weird Science kid.
Yep.
And he couldn't shake
it. Well, Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club.
Yep.
That's my all-time favorite movie.
Breakfast Club?
Really?
Yeah. all-time favorite movie. Because I think it literally described all, like, the representation of me in high school. Because I was a goth. I was an athlete. I was fucking smoking a lot of weed.
Do you guys know everything? A movie like, called Catherine Called Birdie?
No. Catherine Called Birdie?
Nope. Yeah. All right, it's a movie. Playing at the Tampa Theater. All right, so Wednesday, October 12th. At the Tampa Theater, they got The Thing.
What?
Okay.
That's cool. I'm going to be October there for 14th, the Kevin
Smith Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Suspiria, the 14th.
Nice.
The original or the remake?
Original.
I haven't seen the remake. Have you seen the remake yet?
No.
It actually looks pretty good. I'm not a big Suspiria fan, but...
Rocky Horror Picture Show, October 15th. Nice. Friday the 13th, October 16th.
Original?
Yep. Psycho. 16th.
Dude, like
X on the 16th.
Nice.
House with a clock in its walls. Mm-hmm. The Shining.
Nice.
On the 17th.
So those are all the classics.
Theater of Blood.
Are they going to do The Blob?
What's it cost to get in there?
Pet Cemetery on the 20th. Josh Gates Live, October 21st. If you know who that is. And if you don't, you guys fucking suck.
Yeah, I see.
Expedition Unknown. Destination Truth. No, not 10 seasons apiece, both the shows. This guy's been on Discovery Channel for like 30 years.
I haven't had Discovery Channel in like 10 years. So.
Clerks 3, October 23rd.
I'm going to that.
You're going to that? You're going to go to that, but you don't know who Josh Gates is.
No, I'm saying I'm going
Learn
to that.
Learn some fucking shit.
I want
shit.
To see Clerks 3.
Phantasmagoria 13.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck that is. Dead and Buried on the 24th. Beast Comes at Midnight. We talked to those guys. It's on the 25th. Evening with Ghost Brothers.
We talked to the Beast Comes at Midnight guys?
Didn't we?
No.
Oh.
We actually should have one of those guys on the show. I'll reach out to
The Addams Family cartoon, 29th. This cartoon's hysterical. I don't know if you've seen it.
The which one? The original?
Addams Family cartoon.
No.
Did you see the last one?
Part 2? Yeah, I loved it.
I thought it was really funny, man.
Haunted Mansion, the 29th.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Ghostbusters on the 29th. Frighteners on the 29th.
I like Frighteners.
That seems like a fun day to go, actually. Watch all those movies. Hmm. La Casa de la Fin de los Tiempos.
Good try.
That's what it says, dude.
I know what it says, but...
Halloween on October 31st.
Of course. The original?
Oh, they're playing at Regal. They're having Dawn of the Dead 3D, the original.
It's called Nightmare on Franklin Street, if you're local to Tampa.
The weekend of Halloween.
Nice.
Anyone go see that?
Well, if you're in Tampa or the Tampa surrounding areas, please check those out because that's...
Yeah, it's fun. Tampa Theater is an old theater from the 1800s, still sitting in Tampa. It has a ghost tour every day, I think. It's a huge...
It's haunted? The Tampa Theater is haunted?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't go there. I went with the St. Pete Times to the... Cuban Club.
If it's an old building, does that just automatically make it haunted?
No, I think like gangsters gotta die in there and shit. Or a cowboy.
People killed them.
Gangsters or a cowboy have to die.
Yeah.
Or a Native American burial ground.
Yeah, or a Native American burial
ground. Dude, I met my dad at Carrabba's on Sunday.
That's dinner. Weird. For the first time?
No.
Good for you.
I met with him.
It's a weird place later. To meet. And, where you want to meet Dad? Carrabba's?
He pulls out this paper out of his pocket and it's... So he believes that the reason why no hurricanes hit us is because there's, like, these Indian burial grounds that are protecting us. I'm like, you do realize there's Indian burial grounds all over Florida, right?
Not like in Seminole.
Not just here.
Not like in
Seminole. They're all over. Really?
It's a real thing.
So you think that's why, too?
No.
Why we don't have any hurricanes?
No, I don't think it. I believe it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I didn't know about this till Leanne told me. And then we looked it up, and that's all we did for like 8 hours. Researched this whole crazy mess. I'm judging him just a little bit.
That's fine with me.
I don't give a shit. At least I have something to believe in.
I'm going to get you a tinfoil hat and just...
It's not aliens, dude. It's Seminole fucking Indians. They're buried in the ground.
Hey, when I recommended a movie about Native American burial grounds, you guys nixed it, and I think that would make a lot of sense, especially here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Camp Hackaho.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, listen. Sometimes I'm high during the show, and I don't remember things afterwards. But Smackahoe or Wackahoe,
Hackahoe,
I agree, needs to be made.
I agree. Hack-a-ho. I've been saying this.
Now I understand where I was saying we can't do Indians because it's politically incorrect. I see. Now I remember the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Great name.
This motherfucker is like, no Indian. Why is it got to be Indian?
Well,
I don't want to do a fucking Indian movie.
It's not about Indian. It's just about the curse of it. You don't have to even describe it. You could just say, oh, it's been on some ancient burial ground.
The only way it could work is if you had a character, the funny character, Indian character probably, would have to be. And they're the one, Native American, who says, man, this shit's like Camp Hack-a-Hoe. And that's where the name of the movie comes from.
Right.
Is this dude's, he calls it that.
But then we'll probably get protested by all the Native Americans.
No, because we make the Native Americans the hero.
Oh, okay.
They're fighting some spirit thing. I came up with a good idea. If you want to hear it, I'll tell you about it.
Sure,
I'll hear it. I think it's amazing. I think it's franchisable. I think that it could go for at least 3, if not 5, movies. You know, 3 or 5. That's where they're at, unless you're Sharknado.
Yeah.
They're like on 10, right?
I've never watched one of them.
Are you kidding me?
No. No.
I've watched all of them.
Yeah,
same with all of the Tremors.
I like the Tremors.
Yeah, they're cool, man. Yeah. Anyways, okay.
Like the Guyver? Remember the
Guyver? Called... I don't know what to call it, honestly. I'm having a hard time with it because I like the name Brides of Cannibal Island.
Okay.
But that's not a franchisable name because it's not about the island.
See, I don't like cannibals.
Brides.
I don't like cannibals.
Okay, so here's the plot anyway.
Okay.
Bachelorette party. Rich bitches, CEOs, hot. I mean, we're talking hot, good-looking things in fucking, you know, nighttime attire getting ready to go out. They're going to fly into some place and have a good-ass fucking bachelorette party. The best friend's getting married, but crash. Now they're on an island or in a fucking swamp or wherever the fuck they are, and now they got to stay alive, and now they're going after I got it. They crash land in the swamp, and they have to fight swamp people billies, swamp billies. Stay alive, and it's like Brides of Hillbilly. Hillbilly.
So it's Bridezilla's meet Hell Have Eyes.
More like Deliverance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bridezilla's meet Hell Have Eyes. Perfect. That's actually because it's not going to be like that's a horrible way to go. Deliverance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But a horror comedy, not like, you know, all the right. 6 women who are there, they all survive. They win. They're the heroes. And then we do it again. It's almost like Hangover, but then the next movie is something else drastic happens to them, and now they got to fight these fucking things. You know, mutant snakes or some shit.
Right.
You know? What do you think?
Where did cannibals come in?
Originally, they were going to crash land on an island that hadn't been charted yet, and it was going to be full of cannibals.
Oh.
So I was going to call it Brides of Cannibal Island, but I don't like that. I just toyed with the idea right now of an all-female lead horror film franchise.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Sellable.
Sure. Especially if they're hot.
Right.
Challenge me, man.
So, remember my sitcom I wrote? I'm thinking about turning that into a movie.
A what?
Yeah. I thought about it. I'm up to like 160 pages.
It's way easier to make a movie than a fucking series.
Well, my series was only going to be 13 episodes, so that's why.
Well, it's funny, because I was talking to Duncan the other day about my vampire movie I want to do, and he was like, that sounds like it would be a good series. So I'm like,
Vampires are hot right now.
So I started thinking, I'm like,
yeah,
how long would it take me to make a series? So if you made like 30-minute episodes, 10 episodes, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah,
dude. It took me a year to shoot South of Central.
It's a 5-hour movie.
And it's 13 episodes, and they're not even on 10 minutes.
I think I can knock it out in 8 days. 5 episodes. Or
like
five,
I said, I'm up to 130-minute episodes. So that's what I was thinking about, just doing the movie.
Because we just shot an hour and 40-minute movie in 3 days, which is insane.
So I think we could do it, but I would need more money. I would need,
of course,
put like $6,000-$7,000 into
well,
it.
Well, you need to do a lot for series.
And I just don't think
you'd have to do like.
I would never make my money back.
Would.
That's the problem. Like, I don't want to up my ante because I know I won't make the money back.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be in the hole. So that's the problem. I'm very interested to see what the Deathblow Indiegogo does because it's so different from everything else that we've done. And that's what our fans want.
Janowski hit his goal with his Kickstarter.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like $4,800 or some shit.
That's pretty good.
$4,900
That's for a comic book.
Yeah.
See, you got to think about it. You're basically doing three movies. That's what basically you got the budget for.
Right.
30-minute episodes, 10 episodes.
Yeah, first I was thinking, all right, 45
10 minute episodes, 30 episodes. That'd be three episodes.
So I've been thinking about which way to go. I don't know.
You math wrong.
I don't know. And then it's like graduating high school.
And so the thing is, like, you can, like, you make your movie, you can upload it to whatever. They put it on Tubi and Amazon.
It's not worth it, man. It's not worth it because I know firsthand what's happening right now. I got a friend of mine trying to make a movie. He's already got $400,000 in the bank. He talked to me. They were going to give him $400,000 on the back end for 50% of the money up front. So they wanted, Tubi wanted him to pay them $200,000 to make his movie.
Why would anybody do that? To put it on Tubi?
That's what Tubi's doing, apparently. They're charging filmmakers to put it up on Tubi.
So I don't know if you can, like, so if I say we use Film Hub or whatever, we upload to Film Hub.
Yeah, right.
They put it, they shop it to all those apps or whatever, and you get on so many apps or whatever, and then you get paid per quarter. Can you do that with a series? Like, do they do that? Or is it just movies?
It would be limited.
Like, are there series on Tubi?
Netflix, Amazon, or you'd be limited on a couple things.
Like, are there series on Tubi?
Uh-huh.
Everybody has Tubi. It's a free thing.
I don't watch.
Go on Tubi.
There's nothing on Tubi that I want to watch.
There's a lot of stuff on Tubi.
Well, not that.
Anyway, do they? I don't even know if they have series. Can you get a series on Prime?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah. I know a couple people have series on Prime.
Yeah. I just think that's it. I don't know if that's the right move for this.
I mean, just add it to your repertoire.
I got
to
come up with a plot first. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
But the way I'm designing it, it's. Like I said, it's like Veronica Mars-y type.
Yeah.
And that was a series.
Yeah.
So, and I started watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I love
like
Buffy.
The old ones.
The just started?
Buffy.
Yeah, I never watched. I watched the movie, but I never
owned
watched.
Them.
Dude, I watched it so much that, like, my life scheduled around Buffy.
Yeah, really? Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode. I kind of like, it gets good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Buffy? Yeah.
They made one of the best episodes I've ever seen in television.
Really?
Yes.
Are you talking about Hush?
Yes.
Yeah. It's
what
really
season
cool.
was that?
Four.
Yeah, four. Season four.
The episode called five. Hush. When you get to that,
Do I need to watch all the other ones?
It's like a horror movie.
Do I need to watch all the other ones?
It's
to get
Doug
to
Jones,
that?
Dude. That's Doug Jones is the gentleman.
Yeah.
Like, if I just watch that episode, am I going to be completely lost?
No.
It's a standalone.
Yeah, you could.
I mean,
you won't know all the characters.
Yeah, there might be something in there with Willow or something.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what? But it's kind of a standalone.
Yeah.
It's a toss-up for me with that and Once More with Feeling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the musical one.
Yeah, that's fucking great.
Yeah,
too,
that was cool.
But vampires are kind of making a little comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah. My only problem...
It sounds like the new Blade's like a disaster already.
Yeah, didn't they shut production down?
Well, they shut it down. Then they started again. The director quit. Mahershala Ali's pissed at the script because it's not that great. And he just, I don't know, it just seems like a big disaster. I'm like, you know what?
Wesley Snipes is all like,
why don't they just take the original Blade and just like re-release it to all the millennials?
Why don't you just cast Wesley Snipes' Blade?
Too old.
I mean, I like the casting. I like the Mahershala Ali casting. But
yeah.
If it's not a good script or a fun movie, like who the fuck?
Yeah, it's a show, isn't it?
Well, it really depends on what direction they're trying to go in.
Who gives a shit about Blade?
A different... It was rated R, and it was definitely a different realm than where they're going with, because they put Blade at the end of Eternals.
Right.
Like, you got a fucking...
Blade,
who
the
cares?
Top, Blade has the top three opening scene of all time.
Yeah.
with the when they're in the club with the bloodbath. Oh, dude,
that's one of your top three opening scenes to any movie.
Yeah.
Name Please give me one. Your other two.
Name a better one.
I don't know. Striking Distance with Bruce Willis.
Striking
Distance. Friday the 13th.
I don't remember that.
The remake.
Striking Distance has
remake.
Yeah, the opening.
No, 2009.
I love that opening.
What's
that
the opening?
Is really good.
Get out of your own building.
What's the oh, when they're finding the weed and shit.
Yeah.
Striking Distance has like an 8-minute car chase scene. It's fucking amazing.
Dark Knight bank robber scene. I love that.
Good scene.
That's all right. Long.
It's long, but it's fucking good. But dude, that blade scene, I watched it the other day on YouTube. The blade scene. I'm just like, dude, fucking so good.
I mean, the rest of 09 stopped, but the opening, I love the opening.
Let's see.
When I first got my surround sound system, I would come home every day and just watch that opening scene of that. And when he throws that little battering, the bladering around, it like went all the
Ghost
way
Ship.
Around the speakers.
Yeah.
Ghost Ship's a pretty good opening.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. That's pretty good. But that blade scene, man, with the music and the fucking, the whole crowd and the blood start pouring out of the sprinklers. Like, that shit was so awesome.
My Bloody Valentine.
She's like, what's the matter, baby? And then what's badass about it is everybody's all bloody and shit.
Yeah.
And the guy falls on the ground and blades, like, you see his shoes and they pan up. And he's all clean. And everybody else is just all bloody and shit. And he just starts beating the shit, like, hacking everybody up.
That's
a great shit. Such a good scene.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other good. I'm like.
They're not many, right? There's not many that are like.
Goonies
memorable.
Has a pretty good opening scene.
There's not a lot of memorable.
The car, the police chase. Goonies has got a pretty
good.
When
he escaped jail?
Yeah. It's a whole opening credit sequence.
Yeah.
The only thing odd about that is Martha Plimpton is bobbing for crabs. Her character goes into a bucket of water and comes up and she's holding. Like makes no sense.
No. Nope.
Now as an adult, you're like, what?
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Let's see. What else is another good opening? Dude, I think I'm having like some sort of skin infection.
Detention. Did you ever see the opening scene of that?
I've seen it. I don't remember the opening scene.
Great opening scene. Great opening credits.
Yeah.
The credits were real creative. And the rest of the movie was absolute shit.
Yeah.
What's your favorite scene in any movie ever?
My favorite scene of any movie ever?
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible to even...
Oh, equate that into a thing?
Oh, there's some good ones.
Yeah.
Fucking car chasing a Ronin.
Yeah.
The bank robbery scene in the heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Children of Men, the whole one take.
Where she gets
scene.
Killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Julianne Moore. Yep, love that.
There's a lot of good shit.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. With the one scene with Pacino and De Niro, I can't think of the movie right now, but
that was Heat.
That was
the airport.
Oh yeah, when they're at
the diner.
Yeah,
was Heat.
Yeah, that scene was fucking.
I also like the end at the airport when they're out in the airfield.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was my favorite scene.
Yeah, it was good.
Because they were like equals, and it was just like
great character development, storytelling.
Yeah,
it's all beautiful, man. All beautiful.
Scream opening sequence.
Oh yeah.
Like I was like, wait! I literally just watched all of it like recently.
Scene's definitely up there.
That might have been one of the best.
Well, it was shocking because Drew Barrymore was a huge star at the time. She fucking dies in the first 5 minutes. You're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, 96, she was big.
That blew her career up, though, she said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She said doing that little role blew her up again.
Oh,
again.
She was in fucking everything back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's in everything always. Yeah. Santa Clarita Diet, you seen that?
Yeah.
I fucking love that show. Sure. It's over.
They can't scream.
They canceled it. Yeah. Because Santa Clarita burnt down.
No Neve Campbell, man.
Why? She's not coming back?
No. They didn't pay her what she wanted to make.
Fuck her.
She's like, I am this franchise. Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of like, are you? Where's Ghostface?
I don't have a costume of you, Neve Campbell. Well, that's what people see.
Yeah, when you search Scream action figures. There's no Nev Campbell action figures.
Right.
Hayden Panettiere is coming back.
Yeah, I do like that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because that was my favorite one.
She's part of the Nephilim or whatever.
The what?
The sex
cult. Yeah, some sex cult.
Really? She's a sex thing. Cult. Yeah, yeah, she's in a sex cult. She didn't give a fuck about it. She don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're, it's a big, like, it's basically like a big group of swingers, really,
yeah,
is like what it is.
Is that really a cult? It's just...
Nah, I call that a Friday night.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, hey, I want to join. If you're getting fucked, I'm
yeah,
going.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure my wife and I could probably swing right into that.
Thing. Yeah.
But swinging her.
She's so hot.
She's okay.
No, she's not.
I mean, she's cute, yeah, you know?
Cute.
I think, like...
You think Kate Dennings is hotter than her?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
Yes.
Fuck that. I can't even look at you right now.
Yes, dude.
Joey Davison loves Kat Dennings. Like,
I can't even right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, I can't even. That's just fucking ridiculous.
No, I love my wife.
Okay.
Kat Dennings is just cute and hot.
Close second.
Yeah.
like I said, Kat Dennings is great, amazing actress.
Next you're going to tell me Miss McClarthy's not hot.
All right.
There's something wrong with this guy. Don't know.
No, there's not. I know where there's ample opportunity when I see it.
Yeah. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us at the Killer Collab Podcast. My name is Tony D, Tone Deaf from Florida. Joe Davison, Chris Leto.
Bigger ladies, hit me up.
See you next week.
BBW.
Kat Dennings, this guy loves you. Yeah. See ya.